This one is called Voter Registration, New Kensington, Pennsylvania. I meet a man who tells me he died in the service. He has veins on his cheeks and his eyes don't focus. Left for dead, listed dead. Woke up on a cot in heaven. Found out later it was Belgium. He fumbles in his blindness with the radio dial. Asks me to find him a baseball score. He recites the names of the boys in his unit 60 years later without a pause. He held a boy, 19, who took a bullet through the larynx and sees him slowly choking if he dreams. He doesn't see much else these days. Colored blobs, hazy shapes, absence of light. He doesn't move bad for a dead guy, he jokes, creeping down the porch steps, his white eyes on the sky. He holds the registration card against his body and runs his bony hands along its perforated edges. I think he's thinking something more important than I've ever said, and then the sun hits our faces in just the same way. This is called Crazy in Corsandonk. Lou fell in love with a bewitching schizophrenic, a slender woman with soft, blank skin, and they listened to Neil Young's Harvest together, its beauty tugging gently at their own loud piece. When she was in grad school, sometime in the 70s, he hitchhiked to Bloomington, but couldn't quite find her, nor could she find herself, and so he ended up sleeping at a halfway house, boarding with meth fiends and badly battered women. Lou shouts his story through the bar's noisy smoke, a quaint little place on South St. Clair with 300 imported beers where we laugh at this life and its one God fits all and how you might trip over any number of things, falling madly into fits of affection with the center of the universe or the cruel look of the draw. A pretty brunette with sweet small breasts who maybe hears voices and has two personalities or erupts sometimes, shouting beautifully mutilated French at a boy who's not there. And the rest of the story? A hotline at the halfway house. He talked a woman out of suicide. They imagined how the other might look and might taste. She told him she had just shot smack, and he asked her to describe it. Flashback to the bar, and Lou remembers her perfume, the schizophrenics, and how the memory makes him a man on fire with love. He orders his beer, something Belgian, and so dark that our eyes cannot see through it. This is the last one I'm going to read. It's called Small Time Wrestling. In the abandoned mall right off of Route 30, we found 500 folding chairs, most of them empty, surrounding the antique wrestling ring. It buckled and creaked with every stiff slam. Wrestlers' girlfriends clapping, feigning excitement, popping bubble mint from the lonely third row. In the main event, we saw the evil head shrinker, a sturdy Polynesian, a trunk of a man, who wrestled barefoot and bounded through the makeshift arena, tugging at his wild hair, babbling to himself, his large eyes shocked wide open. Afterwards, we saw him smoking in the parking lot, genial, tender, eloquent almost, a shattered sun teasing the horizon as we talked. He told stories of the big time, of the gods of my boyhood, of parties on airplanes and of other guys' wives. He blew fragile smoke rings against the bright summer twilight that seemed, when you reached, to never have been there.